For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 21st day of November. Yes, indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have our young and talented producer, none other for a while. It's Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, we have the legend, the Missouri legend, none other than the Parson Joel Larson.
Well, don't know about legend, but infamous maybe.
All righty. And tonight we have a special guest to us. Brian Festa is our special guest tonight. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. How are you?
I'm doing good. And I understand you may have a guest with you tonight?
Well, he's not with me. He was supposed to call in. I don't know if he called in on the other line, Alan Martin.
All righty. Well, if he calls in, they'll let us know right away. You say Alan Martin. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, here's what we're doing. We always do the first 30 minutes of the Bible study, and you are more than welcome to join in. If you have a question or a comment, just jump in here with us. Because us old preachers can get to carrying on, can't we, Joe? Already
told that. People complain about the grace. The food is cold by the time we're done. But, yep. You know, blessings. But be that as it may.
That's what they call sneaking preaching, huh?
Something like that.
Well, we got to get into it. Remember the title of the message?
Give thanks unto God and fear not.
We're going to pick it up where we left off over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's take it verse at a time, okay?
All right. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you.
Okay, so he's talking specifically about the pastors and the Bible teachers, isn't he?
He is, exactly.
Now he's saying, and now who's he talking to? He's talking to the church here, right?
Right.
But now, would that include, say, congressmen and senators and governors and presidents?
According to God, it does. The world may not think so, but God does.
Well, nowadays especially. So, Were they too today, if you're a Christian, no matter what your occupation is, that is supposed to be your ministry to the Lord. So whatever you do, if you're a Christian, you do it to the Lord. So right. If you're a congressman or a senator or whatever, are you supposed to say to the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, what saith the Lord?
That would be the way it should was supposed to be done. But that line is the most important line you said. Everything we do, whether you're cleaning up a room, whether you're washing dishes, you know, whether you're cleaning out a corral, a chicken coop, the most mundane work, you're supposed to do it as you were doing it for the Lord. That is the secret to being a good Christian. Whatever you do it like you're doing it for God himself.
Absolutely. Verse 13, go ahead.
And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is there any higher profession today than that of a prophet? And today, remember, we have our prophets today are not foretellers as they were that ended with the completion of the 66 books, the canon. But today we have foretellers.
Tellers, right.
Now, is there any higher office than that of a prophet or a pastor?
I don't think so, and I'll quote Jeremiah 3:15, and God said, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And then in Isaiah 33:6, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is his treasure."
Already?
It's pretty clear what he thinks, right?
Absolutely. And by the way, Brian, do you have a comment? You just jump in. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Now, that word feeble-minded is not the way we use it, Joe. Okay, here, actually that word feeble-minded means faint-hearted. You know, people that, the sky is falling, or...
The weak, they're fearful.
Right, yes, okay. I'm going to get COVID. I got to wear a mask. I got to wear two masks, okay? You know, I don't want to go outside. You know, I've seen, boy, have I seen some of that.
A little bit of afraid of life. They don't live because they're too afraid. And God says what? How many times in Scripture does he say, fear not?
366 times. Fear not.
That's okay. Quite a few, isn't it?
You know, it'll work for me. I mean, I get the message.
Pretty clear to me, yeah.
Yeah, it's clear.
I didn't have to be told 366 times. The first, you know, 10, 20, 30 got me pretty good.
Already. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
All men.
So what is evil and what is good?
Well, evil is what God says it is, and good is when we're being righteous, doing the will of God, following his statutes and judgments, his laws, his ordinance, his commandments.
So those are all good.
Good.
Right.
And anything that is anti-Christ, and if it's anything against what God has called us to not do, it's evil.
So he says in Deuteronomy 30, "This day have I set before you life and death, blessing and
death,
cursing."
Yeah.
So choose life. So life is good.
You and your seed may live. He kind of made a big kavat there too, right?
Yep. Okay, so when we take a look at his commands, we look at Matthew 25. We are to feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, visit those that are sick. Okay, so these are good things. Okay, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. So when he says this, rejoice evermore, and he says pray without ceasing, does that mean you just start praying and you just never stop, or does that mean you pray frequently throughout the day?
You frequently, but I heard a story, if there's time real quick. There were a group of bishops, and they were at a conference, and they were debating what that meant. And a serving girl was standing there, and she all of a sudden blurted out, "I know what that means." And they looked at her, and she was just in shock that she spoke at this group. And one of them said, "Well, pray tell us, what do you mean, child?" And she said, "Well, sir, it was, you know, if I'm doing dishes, I'm washing, I'm cleaning something. Lord, clean me, cleanse me, make me clean like I clean the dishes. Or I'm serving these men, you know, I'm being a servant." It's as we do things, acknowledging God. Sometimes it's just a simple acknowledgement as we're doing something. Thanks for the safe traveling mercies as we arrive at a destination. It's not always long, complicated prayers. It's simple, sometimes short prayers of thanks, of gratefulness.
So, as we do a radio program like this, do we at the same time, are we often asking God, you know, to give us the right answer before we go on the air?
Yes.
So what do we ask the Lord? We usually
ask the Lord to help guide us to do His will, that we preach and teach what He would have us do, and to correct us if we go astray. And
absolutely, to guide our steps and to guide our speech, huh? And so
watch over, guide, and direct us.
All right, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, let me read that again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Turn over to Job chapter 1.
All right.
And read me verses 20 through 22.
Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Okay, in all of this, Job sinned not charging God foolishly. Now, here, Job had just fallen into some extremely hard times there, huh?
About as hard as they come. I mean, the way he was afflicted, I don't think any of us want to go there where he was.
No, not at all. Let's go over to Habakkuk chapter 3. I'll go there. In Habakkuk chapter 3, I want to read verses 16 through 19. "And when I heard, my belly trembled, and my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in all the vines, the labor of the olive shall fall and fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cast off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hands' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments." Now, Joe, how would this apply? And also, Brian, you could add to this. How would this apply to the days that we're living and in the direction we're coming to? If the American people don't, one, repent, and if the American people don't stand up and boldly resist tyranny, how would that apply with our attitude towards what's coming for us?
Well, I think I think we're in trouble. You know, I mean, Job is described in the scriptures as an upright man. And how many of us could describe ourselves as truly and fully upright men and women. And I don't just mean us on this call. I mean in this country. How many Americans would be confident standing before God and describing themselves as upright and righteous? I don't think very many. And so what we've got coming to us, well, we know what we've got coming to us. We can just read about Sodom and Gomorrah and see what God did there. And I'm afraid to say the day of reckoning is coming. And we just need to make sure that we're on the side of Christ when that trumpet sounds.
So during that time, because you're right, I think unless the Lord intervenes, I think we're headed to a civil war in this country. I don't think the opposition is going to try to stand down. They know right now this is why they are so afraid of Donald Trump. They're scared to death of him because if he gets back in office, like Hillary said, because of their high treason, like Hillary said, if Trump gets back in, we're all going to hang. And you're talking about the Pandora Papers. You're talking about the bribery of all the heads of the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, the Justice Department, all of those that were bought off and bought and paid for and committed treason against the Constitution, against first God and country and the people. But, okay, joining us now, Alan Martin, okay?
Oh.
Alan Martin, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, welcome to the program. I'm Pastor Sanders. We have Pastor Larson, and, of course, you know Brian Festa.
Yes, sir. Hi, Alan. Hi, Brian.
All righty. We're doing the Bible study. We're coming up to the end of the Bible study here. So you can just jump in if you have a question or a comment as we do this. And we're left off in verse 19, quench not the spirit. What does that mean, Joe, quench not the spirit?
Don't try to shut down the Holy Spirit. Quench is to, you know, shut down. But can I back up? You were just in Habakkuk. I will rejoice in the Lord. Even when we have trials and tribulations, we're still supposed to rejoice. Why? Because our salvation is secure in Him. If we're in pain, we're still supposed to rejoice. If we're having tribulations, we're still supposed to rejoice because we're saved, because we're children of God. And no matter what else, we know that everything here on this earth is short, temporary, and He's promised us an everlasting future. And that's why that psalmist says, yet will I rejoice, no matter what all these bad things happen, yet will I rejoice in the Lord.
Amen. That's the point. Verse 19, yeah. Quench not the spirit.
Spirit.
He's kind of telling us there, isn't he, to encourage. He wants us to encourage those encourage them to walk with the Lord. If God sometimes tells you, look, you know, you have the feeling that the Lord is sending you to do someplace, but, you know, you're not sure.
You didn't want to go.
Okay. You don't. If God tells you to go someplace, when God says, who should I send? You say, here I am, Lord, send me. What if God tells you, okay, here's what I want you to be. Here's where I want you to go. Are you going to end up right where God wants you, right when He wants you? Remember that fellow he had gone and gotten himself on a ship.
Yeah.
And he
ended up being cast into the water by the crew because of the God was angry, and he ended up being swallowed by the giant fish, right?
Right. Now, he had decided that he wasn't going to go to Nineveh because he didn't want those people getting saved, and he didn't want to go and preach repentance to them as God had told him to do.
Right.
Right?
And he ended up being thrown up on the beach at Nineveh.
Right. So will God get you right where he wants you, right when he wants you? Is it better to do it his way, or if you have to do it your way, can that hurt?
Let me testify. When God called me to be a preacher, I said this wasn't what I had planned. I had my life planned out. Being a preacher boy was not part of it. And we argued a bit, and I lost. And I'm here, and I've been serving him ever since. I'm glad I am. I'm glad I did listen. But I was one of those that kind of had to be hit over the head with a 2x4 before I got the message. But I finally figured it out, what was good for me.
Well, it seems that's the story with so many of the people that the Lord raises up and sends out. And old Jonah, he learned the hard way, but he learned, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
All righty.
And maybe people can learn from his example, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Without having to go through what he did.
Despise not prophesizing. Okay, so why would he say despise not prophesizing? There's something there. When it came to the different gifts in the ministry, the Jews required a sign, didn't they?
Yes.
And
they were supposed to have a sign for everything.
Okay, so they wanted gifts of speaking in tongues. They wanted the gifts of exhortation. But the gift of prophesying came only next to one other gift. Okay, it came only second to, what was the other gift?
Healing?
No. It was the gift of being a pastor, a shepherd, a leader.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going. Yeah, I thought one of the other gifts that a lot of them wanted was the gift of healing.
All righty. Yeah, well, that would be a good one. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Okay, we talked about that which was good there. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And so here, you know, these last two, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. That applies to what? Both doctrines and practices, doesn't it?
Yes, and to your practice in your daily life, holding on to those things that are good or righteous and are pleasing to God, and especially that next verse, that abstain from all appearances, not just abstain from, you know, evil, bad behavior, but the appearance of bad behavior.
Amen. All right.
That's even harder.
We're going to hear from Jan Porter. Listen carefully, folks, because what she's going to say is something very, very important. We are playing this over and over for the simple reason we have to get the message across. And in the very near future, those of you listening are going to get lists of all your state representatives. You need to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. It's very important that we take our country back to one nation under God. And with what happened recently here in Ohio with Issue 1, it's extremely important that you pay close attention and we run to this battle. We'll be back right after this.
Remember learning how a bill became a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Well, Issue 1 is trying to make our laws using a different kind of bill. 58 million of them. From George Soros, New York millionaires, foreign billionaires, and even blood money from partial birth abortionists. And all that money bought a lot of ads to deceive Ohio voters.
It also protects the essential reproductive medical care, like the miscarriage care that saved my own life, and access to birth control.
No, Issue 1 was not about miscarriage care or birth control. It was about abortion until birth and bringing back partial birth abortion into our state. But Issue 1 violates our state and federal constitutional right to life, which, according to Article 1, Section 1 of our Ohio Constitution, is inalienable. That's what our legislators swore to uphold. As the Supreme Court stated in the Dobbs decision, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not to the mob with the most money. Just as we wouldn't put slavery to a popular vote, no matter the mob and no matter the money, inalienable rights and our children are not for sale to the highest bidder. While the courts are able to issue rulings, our state constitution grants the authority of the court's jurisdiction, that is, what they're allowed to rule on, to the state legislature. So while the pro-aborts are right now picking their favorite judge to strike down our protective laws, Article 4, Section 18 makes it clear. The jurisdiction of the courts is directed by law. The Constitution specifically says reining in out-of-control courts is the legislator's job. So let's call on the legislators to do their job, to use their constitutionally granted right to represent us and to keep pro-abortion judges from repealing Ohio laws based on an amendment that doesn't even mention a single Ohio law. You see, the national strategy of the abortionists is to roll over the will of the people and our inalienable rights, just like they did in Michigan, Vermont, California, and they're planning to do all across the nation. But there is one state that is saying no. Foreign billionaires don't get to crush the will of the people and our inalienable rights. Representative Jen Gross and Bill Dean are standing against the abortion machine. Are you willing to stand with them? Ask your representative and senator, are you willing to use your constitutionally granted tools to stop the abortion machine? Or are you just going to talk about it? Make your first call to Senate President Matt Huffman. Then call on those in the State House to stand for the Constitution and prevent the courts from stripping us of all our laws and our inalienable rights.
All righty, we are back. 3 weeks before the very first COVID shot was given, 3 weeks, Joe, we were on the radio program doing exactly what it said in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, to warn the people, right? We were the watchmen on the wall, and 3 weeks before the first shots were given, we said, don't take these shots. All of the test animals, 100%, every single test animal that they used died. Don't take them. Do not take them. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, that started a real controversy. And we had people speaking out against us, even Franklin Graham. And we're out there encouraging people, and we were saying, don't listen. Well, with that, we're going to talk about being shot dead. And, Brian, I'm going to turn it over to you and Alan.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. You know, these interviews, I typically enjoy doing interviews. I do a lot of media interviews. I've done them for years. And I enjoyed the last time I was on with you speaking about our various litigation across the United States. But, you know, these interviews have been the hardest because they involve an all-too-real tragedy suffered by the parents featured in this film, Shot Dead. You can view it at shotdead.org. And Alan Martin, who's on the line with me tonight, lost his daughter just over a year ago as a result of the COVID shot. She's featured prominently in the film. She was only 18 years old when she passed away. Her name was Trista Martin. And we premiered the film on the one-year anniversary of her death, which was November 9th, 2022 was the day she passed. And our film premiered November 9th, 2023, which was just almost 2 weeks ago now. It has already well over 200,000 views on Rumble alone, which, you know, considering the incredible amount of censorship we've endured is really a miracle of God that it has that many because, you know, most of the time, even if we spend a lot of money in advertising dollars, we're lucky if we get, you know, 10,000 views. But this is something that people are really waking up to, the evil that was unleashed upon the world, not just, you know, the American populace, but the world, and the fallout, the very real fallout, all right? People can talk about, you know, we can talk about politics. We can talk about, you know, Fauci, you know, versus, you know, people on, you know, the conservative right and, you know, Biden or Trump or, you know, you can talk about politics all day long. You can talk about big pharma and the money they were making from it. And you can talk, you know, the economic reality and what was driving it. But at the end of the day, you know, people like Alan Martin, Ernest Ramirez, Naomi White, And those are just a few stories. Those are the three stories we feature in the film, but those are just three parents. But at the end of the day, these parents have to live with the reality that their children aren't here anymore. So you can say whatever you want. You can say it's conspiracy theory. Try telling that to Alan or Ernest or Tori White, actually, Victoria. Her daughter was Naomi, who passed just 11 hours after birth, actually. And all the results of this toxic experimental injection, which I don't really believe was experimental. We can call it experimental. That's how it's known. Experimental gene therapy. It wasn't an experiment. The only experiment was to see how many people they could kill. All right. Because this, at the end of the day, this was evil. This was diabolical. It wasn't an experiment to see how well it would kill COVID. It was an experiment to see how well it would kill people. And that's hard for a lot of people to believe. There's people listening that say, oh, that's, you know, how can the government do this? How would, you know, I've talked to my father about this even. You know, he's of a generation where you trusted the public health authorities. You trusted the government. You trusted your doctor. And he said, you know, I don't want to believe that the government would be that evil, that there would be people that would purposely be trying to kill us. But I said, Dad, listen, I've seen it. You know, I have a vaccine-injured child myself, and this is long before COVID. And, you know, these things are made with aborted fetal tissue. All other kinds of toxins that are in these shots. I'm not just talking about the COVID shot. And at the end of the day, you have to realize they know exactly what's in them. You know, the people at these drug manufacturers and the government know exactly what neurotoxins do to children. For instance, the shot that my son received, the flu shot, and other childhood vaccines that contain aluminum, and you're giving, and that's a known neurotoxin, okay? And you're injecting it directly into the bloodstream when the blood-brain barrier is open, all right, in an infant, in a young child, and that goes directly into their brain, heavy metal. Also mercury, formaldehyde, directly into the brain. If you're telling me that that's healthy and that they didn't know that that could cause all kinds of side effects and death, then I don't know what to tell you. Anyone who wants to, that's the conspiracy theory. That's the crazy thing. Anyone who wants to keep believing those lies that they're sold, those are the conspiracy theorists. Because it's very clear on paper, mountains of scientific evidence, the harm that these shots have caused. But, we are pursuing, and I'll talk about this later after Alan tells his story, but we are pursuing litigation to hold Pfizer accountable because these shots were contaminated. They were adulterated. This was, from the evidence we have, this was not, and we're preparing, this was not disclosed to the regulatory authorities, the HHS secretary, or to the general public. And therefore, their emergency use authorization is deemed invalid. And that eviscerates their liability shield. So that is the legal theory we are proceeding under. We're trying to raise funds for it at WeThePatriotsUSA.org. The COVID fraud litigation, you'll see it right there. You can make a donation online or you can mail in a check. The address is right there on the website. But I don't want to focus on that at the moment. I'd really like to, if you don't mind, Pastor Ernie, I'd like to shift the focus to Mr. Martin and his very tragic and very real personal loss.
Sure. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we sure can. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. My daughter was 18. She had just recently turned 18. She graduated from high school. And we have a pretty close relationship with our general practitioner, our normal doctor. And we've seen the same. The doctor's actually a close friend of our family. My daughter told us that she wanted her own doctor. She didn't feel comfortable talking about grown-up girl things with the same doctor that we've all seen for years. She wanted her own doctor, and we couldn't really see a problem with that. So we said, you know, okay. And so she went and saw this new doctor and got an annual kind of physical. And as part of that physical, she got the first Pfizer injection. And looking back, there were definitely signals, there were signs. She worked a lot. She was 18, but more mature, I think, than most of her friends. She'd had the same job for a year and a half and loved her job, loved her friends, loved her family. And anytime they'd call to have her fill in a shift, she'd do it. We started noticing as the summer went on that she was acting real tired, sleeping a lot. She said she would get nauseous after she ate. But she would just kind of laugh and laugh it off and joke about it. We told her she needed to get better sleep. She needed to eat better. We didn't really know what was going on. But then on the 8th of November, she spent the night with her older sister. And she woke up on the morning of November 9th and told her sister that she was having pain all over her body and difficulty breathing. She said she was going to lay back down to see if she felt better. And about 10 minutes later, her sister checked on her and she couldn't get her to wake up. So they called my wife, and my wife was just down the street. So she hurried over and found her that she wasn't breathing, and they started CPR, called 911, called me. I was at home. I rushed to the hospital. And she was pronounced dead at 5:05 p.m. We had no idea what had happened. We didn't know that she had got the shot until she was in the hospital dying. One of her friends told us that she had gotten the shot, and she told her friends not to tell us. It's not that we were adamant anti-vaxxers. We're not. We just didn't like this shot. And we had talked about it amongst our family. We talked about it with her back when it was, when it was Trump's shot and nobody wanted to get it. And then Trump lost the election or whatever. And then it became Biden's shot. And all of a sudden, the people who swore they would never get it are all now telling everybody else to go get it. And so we decided that we didn't want it. We thought we were all on the same page. And but I looking back now, I think my daughter got it because she was about to start college. She had talked with me a little bit about being worried that her college was going to require to have it. She wanted to travel. She had gone to a concert where they made her wear a mask because she didn't have a vax card. So I think that played a role into it. But ultimately, it's the lies. It's the lies, the safe and effective lie from the CDC and the FDA and from Pfizer that convinced her that dad's dumb. Dad didn't know what he was talking about. And she trusted the message, and she got the shot. After she passed, it was a battle to get her records. It was a battle to even get acknowledgement from the doctor that gave her the shot that she was even treated there. We did records requests from that doctor's office, and we were denied. We were lied to. We were screwed around with. Ultimately, we had to file a complaint with the Oklahoma Board of Osteopathic Examiners, who told us that basically that I was nuts, that the reason why they didn't give us records is because my daughter was never seen there. We had to prove that she was seen at the doctor's office with insurance billing records, the vaccine card that we found in my daughter's purse after she passed, and the text messages in her phone to confirm the appointment. Once we gave that evidence, they kind of produced a few records. And as part of those records was one more nearly blank page dated October 28th, which was 12 days before Trista died. And we believe that it was at that time that she got a second Pfizer shot. But ultimately, her autopsy, when we finally got it, it took us about 8 months to get it. But we've had it analyzed and had several doctors look at it, including Dr. McAuliffe, Peter McAuliffe, Dr. James Thorpe, who's in the movie. One of the awesome data analysts, a gentleman by the name of John Bedwin Sr. out of Michigan, he did an analysis of it, and it, she died with no less than three fatal conditions, all known to be the top adverse reactions to the Pfizer COVID injection.
Well,
and that's where we're at right now.
You know, here, you know, I had mentioned that 3 weeks before that, when we had Wendy Wilson with the Apothecary Herbs, she's a naturalist, and we were talking about how to automatically, she started working on how to detoxify those shots. Now, here's how our society is, you know, it's had a nervous breakdown. Pfizer, or the Cleveland Clinic, right here in Cleveland, Cleveland Clinic, had done a study about a year ago, and they came out with a conclusion that if you had gotten the shot, you were four times more likely to get COVID, right? Now, if you're four times more likely to get COVID, you're obviously four times more likely to die from COVID. And after they come out with this study, they go ahead and they say, shots are available today. On the news here in Cleveland, they're trying to promote people to go get get shot dead, to get the kill shots. They're promoting that. Now, even today, it came out in the news that the military, after they had expelled 25,000 soldiers for refusing the shot, and we were encouraging everyone to refuse it, do not get it, okay? In fact, we sent out hundreds of religious exemption forms. In fact, we sent out thousands, and a lot of people used those religious exemption forms. Unfortunately, the military wouldn't allow them to use that. But now their military's begging these soldiers to come back, and they're not coming back. And so here, well, let me just say this. I wanted to do this very quickly because Wendy was the one that came to us first with this and told me all about it. And like I said, this was more than 3 weeks before the first shots were given. People wanted to know also about Trump, and let me tell you what I found out there. Now, folks, Wendy is having a Thanksgiving sale, and she wanted you folks to know this. She's having a Thanksgiving Day sale, and she's giving 25% off, 25% off any purchase that are $100 or more. That's 25% off any purchase, and this sale will go through the 27th of November. And you can go up on the internet to thepowerherbs.com. That's thepowerherbs.com. Or you can call 866-229-3663. What a great Christmas present to give people is her natural herbal medicine, real medicine that God gave us. And that number is 866-229-3663. Here's what I found out about why Trump let this thing go. He was surrounded. He knew that they were going to push this, and if they didn't, they were going to blame him. Anyone who got COVID, were going to blame Trump. Now, Trump knew this, that if it was an experimental shot, if they called it an experimental, first of all, it wasn't a vaccine to begin with. It was a bioweapon. We've had a number of different experts in that, immunologist on this radio program, and admitting, yeah, it's a weapon. It's a bioweapon, right? But anyhow, Trump knew this, that if it was experimental, they could not force you to take it, that under the Constitution, the military could not do what the military did under the Constitution. Under the Constitution, people could not force you, the government, to take this shot. And that's why he brought it out as a experimental shot, and by the same time, he understood he was promoting hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. He was telling you that's what he was taking. But anyhow, with that, I wanted to go back and just, you know, say, John, you know, or Alan, I want you to know we did our very best here to warn people. We've had a number of people. Well, we had some folks in our church that came to our church that that didn't pay attention. They went and they got the right shot. In the prison ministry we were in, we had a number of inmates for $10 more and extra food took the shot, and they were dead. I had one of the guys that worked in this ministry for the longest time. I could never figure out because this fellow was well aware, but he had some great serious problems, and he let them talk him into taking the shot, and he was dead right away. He was dead, okay. And so again, they're going to come back. They're coming back with all of this all over again. And we want to help you all that we can in that lawsuit. Whatever we can do to help, we're here. And so there you go, Brian.
Well, we very much appreciate that, and we know your listeners are very, you know, generous. We did have people respond after we were on last time, and we got some checks in the mail, and we want to say we very much appreciate your listeners supporting our organization, supporting our mission. I have to say something right now. You know, part of this plot, I'll call it, by the far left, is to destroy organizations like ours. And part of the reason that this economy has tanked, and I believe it was deliberate. I believe
it was.
Part of the reason is to destroy organizations like ours, to destroy your organization, your church, your radio show, to destroy our organization, our legal work. They do not want us continuing this work. And let me tell you, they've done some serious damage. I'm gonna go on record here, and I'm gonna be transparent, as I always am, and say that we've taken some pretty big hits this year. But we're not gonna back down. Yeah, you know, we've had to make cuts. We've had to trim the fat, as they say, but yet we've still pressed on and invested in projects like Shot Dead. I mean, Shot Dead was one of the biggest projects we ever took on. It wasn't cheap. It cost us quite a bit of money. We took a loss on it, a significant loss. That film was not a moneymaker for us. And, you know, there's a zealot, a pro-vax zealot, who published a hit piece about a movie, Shot Dead. His name is, well, I don't even want to give his name, but it's laughable if you read it. You can look it up and find it, but I don't want to give him any more PR than he already has. But he's been well known for years to just rail against anyone that questions vaccines and raises any religious objections or anything like that. He just completely ridicules people, and he tried to accuse us of exploiting these families in order to profit somehow. Alan, that's what he said, that we were exploiting you. Anybody watches that film, that's not an exploitation. and the laughable thing about it is the pharmaceutical companies that killed Alan's daughter and so many others, how much was their bottom line in 2021, 2022, 2023? How much are they making? Do you know, in 2021, they posted profits, the pharmaceutical industry as a whole posted profits of $1.42 trillion, with a T, trillion. And yet you're going to say that we are exploiting families when we're a tiny nonprofit on a shoestring budget, and we're showing this movie for free, Pastor Ernie. This movie is streaming on our website. You can either go to WeThePatriotsUSA.org or ShotDead.org, www.ShotDead.org, to watch it for free. We don't charge anybody for this movie. We're not making money. We took a loss on this film because this film wasn't about making money. The reason we took it, if we wanted to make money, we wouldn't have taken on this project. This project we knew from the beginning was not going to make us any profit. This project was because these stories need to be shared, all right? This is to fill our mission, to educate the public about the dangers of these shots and about the threat to our democracy, our republic, the constant attacks that we're under. Religious freedom is under attack every single day in this country, not just in churches, but in everyday life, in places of employment and in doctor's offices,
everywhere we go, our religious freedom is under attack, our medical freedom is under attack, and we wanted to educate people about this. We wanted to share these families' stories with the world. And we accomplished that. And it's catching fire. Like I said, it's over 200,000 views already in just the less than 2 weeks even. And we're hoping to get to a million views. That's our goal, but hopefully we even shatter that goal. But we need as many people as possible watching this and sharing this. You know, make this your movie, one of the movies you watch over your Thanksgiving holiday. It's not a feel-good movie. It's not something you want to have, you know, young kids in the room for. Have your teenagers, though, and your young adults and your college students in there, because I want them to see it so that they don't suffer the same fate as Trista. And that's another reason Alan does this, is so that she doesn't die in vain. You know, Alan, I'm sure, never imagined his life would be doing constant podcast interviews and radio interviews and, you know, newspaper, print media interviews. I'm just going to go on a limb here, Alan, but I'm going to assume you never envisioned yourself doing this.
No, not at all. But I can tell you that we get, I get contacted a lot through Twitter direct message, email, email from our website, Trista's website, things like that. And amongst the myriad of hurtful, disgusting stuff, there's sprinkled in there lots of the messages that tell me things like, I let my daughter watch this, and she's decided she's not going to get the shot. Thank you so much. You saved her life.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get messages about how there was a girl that was going to NYU, and her dorm mates were all hesitant about getting the shot, but they were feeling pressured to do it, I guess, and so they decided they were going to go do it. She had them watch read the story about Trista, and watched one of our other interviews, and said that it convinced them all to not get the shot. I think one of them decided that she was actually going to go to a different college. And, you know, it's those kinds of stories, the ones that tell me that it's worth it, you know, that kind of, I mean, obviously nothing's ever going to be worth it. I mean, I can't say that it's worth it, but it kind of takes this thing off a little to know that I can use this horrid story to maybe save some others, some other kids, and some other families from going through what we're going through.
All righty. I'm going to tell you, it's a bold thing you're doing, and it's the right thing you're doing. We're coming up to a break, and I've got some questions about the film. I've watched the film, and we'll be back right after this. And don't go away, folks. A whole lot more to come. It gets better. It gets better. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.